You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickard is out today. With the 4th of July weekend kicking off, there are a few foods that seem more all-American than the hot dog. As we'll find out, there are a lot of regional and ethnic variations to enjoy. Bruce Craig is a culinary historian and expert on the lore, allure, and culture of the hot dog. He's the author of Man Bites Dog, Hot Dog Culture in America, and Hot Dogs, A Global History. He joins us now for Food Friday. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
So 4th of July weekend, hot dogs often in the list of the all-American things. How did hot dogs become such an all-American food in the public mind?
Well, there's an apocryphal story about William Tecumseh Sherman or other generals who said, when asked why they were successful, "I got there fustest with the mostest." Hot dogs were the first prepackaged food product that's easy to serve to in public functions, and it's meat, and Americans are majorly carnivores. So hot dogs begin early, and they retain their power.
They're kind of, in some ways, the first fast food.
Well, they are. There are others like peanuts after the Civil War, for example, and then after the 1890s, popcorn. But hot dogs have been a street food since at least the 1870s. And since, again, Americans are major carnivores, this is a quick and easy way to get meat. And so they are, they're maybe the first fast food. Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into the food side of things in a bit, but in your book, you also write about what hot dogs tell us about who we are as Americans. So what kind of meaning do we read into hot dogs? What do they tell us about ourselves?
Right. Well, hot dogs are just part of American mythology. I mean, think about the elements that describe our popular culture and move our popular culture: advertising jingles. And I know because I watch Mad Men. And nobody ever said hamburgers and donuts and football. They said baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and a car company. So it's deep in our cultural history. And again, the reason is because they were there first. And what they tell us is a story of immigration, because it is immigrant food. Naturalized to become American. It's convenient, fast, and cheap, which Americans like in their food. It's amenable to regional variations, so it becomes embedded in local culture, and that's why there's so many regional and very local styles. And it's always associated with the great American game, baseball. And it has been since the 1880s, probably. So, and also fairs and public events that we really like 4th of July or going to Coney Island or amusement parks. So hot dogs are there to begin with.
So one of the most mysterious things to me about hot dogs has always been the name. It's half right. They're usually served hot. Dogs, I don't know where that comes from. Why are they called hot dogs?
Well, it's an ancient joke, and it goes back. In America, the earliest that anybody's found, I think, is from the 1840s, but it certainly goes back into medieval Europe. People are always worried what goes into the butcher's grinding machine, right? Because hot dogs are, after all, ground meat, or chopped meat, actually, and then later ground up, but chopped. So you never know what's going in there. And the standard joke in the Middle Ages and in America was, if a butcher opened up in a neighborhood, all the dogs and cats disappeared. So, I think you've heard that before.
Uh-huh.
With other ethnic cuisines.
Right.
But it started with hot dogs. So there's always been this suspicion and rules about this. And medieval European towns had lots of rules about what butchers could do and what they could put in their sausages. So there's always this suspicion. And the joke runs right through American history. So I'll mention a popular song to you, written in 1864 by a Philadelphia songwriter, one of the most famous songwriters in American history. His name was Septimus Winner in the original German. And it's written in comic German dialect. And it is, oh, where has my little dog gone? Oh, where can he be? Right? Everybody knows.
Uh-huh, right.
You don't know the last line. The last line goes something like this. Ein Sausage is good, bologna is good. They make him at horse, they make him at dog. I guess they make him at he.
Oh, no. Okay.
Oh, yeah. So, and sometime, we don't know when exactly, but the word first appears in the 1880s. Somebody put together hot, which, by the way, was a very popular word for things back in the late 19th century. For example, politicians who were hot to go to war were called red hots. And, you know, wanted to go to the war, the Philippines, Cuba, you know, everywhere, and they're called red hots. So red hot is a popular word. Somebody put these two together, hot, red hot, and dog, and it appeared again in the mid-1880s. And then it becomes really popular by the 1890s and is used everywhere. And the joke is always the same, because if you look at cartoons and jokes like this and songs like, you know, about butchers putting dogs in their machines, there are songs about this, cartoons, as I said, vaudeville jokes, it's everywhere.
Wow.
And even iconography, you'll see in a number of hot dog stands a dog in a bun, right?
Uh-huh.
And if you go online, you'll find real dogs put it having, they have bun costumes. You know, hot dog bun costumes for your little dachshund. Dogs. So the joke is still there. It's American humor, you know?
We're talking to Bruce Craig, culinary historian, about the history and the present of hot dogs in America. Now, Bruce, let's put those actual dogs out of our mind and talk about some of the ways we eat the real thing. We're sharing some recipes on our Central Time Facebook page. You've got one for a Washington State hot dog. It sounds like a good fit for Wisconsin, too. Cheddar cheese and apples in this one. Tell us about that.
Right. Well, in doing research on books, I talked to a number of people. Not just chefs, but also companies who make up recipes for their products. In fact, one of the best ones is a book published by Murray Handwerker, the son of Nathan Handwerker, who founded Nathan's Hot Dogs. And he did a hot dog book back in the 60s with various toppings on it. This wasn't in it, Washington State, but many others are. It's really interesting historically. So anyway, this comes from Washington State, and it's supposed to represent what Washington produces best, and that is apples, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't see why it couldn't be Wisconsin. And cheddar cheese, well, you know, there are Washington State cheeses like Tillamook or Cougar Gold at Washington State University. So I think Wisconsin ought to take that over. Maybe cranberries, too.
All right, yeah, that would work with that combo. So this is just one of those regional variations you mentioned. How did we end up with this huge regional variety of hot dogs in this country?
Well, that's so interesting. And this goes to the question of how come there are no hot dog chains like hamburgers?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a really local food, and it's very humble and homely. I mean, there are two reasons for it, one of which has to do with Wisconsin directly. And the one reason is, hot dogs became kids' food, especially beginning in the 1930s and then accelerated in the 1950s. And this was done by the Oscar Mayer Company, located in, let me think, what city that's in?
Not too far from where I'm sitting right now.
Yeah, not far from you. Although they originated in Chicago, but they bought plant up in the 1920s. So that's the center for it. And they deliberately marketed to kids, beginning with Little Oscar, who was a small person who had appeared at the World's Fair in Chicago. They had a midget village, and seriously, and one of the Oscar Mayers went to it and saw it and said, "Gee, maybe this should be our logo, because then we can appeal to kids." So they began doing so, and so the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is part of that campaign. And then in the 1950s. Everybody knows their jingles, right? I wish I were an Oscar Mayer Wiener.
Sure.
And others. So they market through television directly to children. So you can't take that product that's a supermarket product and market it to kids and turn it into a national chain. It's just too ordinary, I think. And so that's one reason. And the other is that hot dogs are, by the time the national chains like hamburgers arise, particularly after World War II with McDonald's is that they were too embedded in local culture. So the regional variations and the local types develop in the 1890s to 1900s and then accelerate after that. So they were invented by immigrants who opened hot dog stands and put their own toppings on them to differentiate them from anybody else. So I'll give you a couple of examples. One is in New Jersey, there are two kinds of Texas wieners. Now, they have nothing to do with Texas. This is it's a hot dog in the New York, New Jersey style. That's a fairly plain, natural casing, kind of long. And the sauce on it is a thin tomato sauce that's seasoned with a little nutmeg and cinnamon and a couple of other things. Not as heavy as Cincinnati, but a milder version. And that was invented sometime before 1920 by Greek immigrants who took the same kind of sauce they put in moussaka, they put it on a hot dog. And once one hot dog stand, you know, a Greek immigrant comes to live in northern New Jersey, say Newark, where one of the styles comes from, and his relatives come over because it's, you know, you can make a living. They came from really poor parts of Greece. And so people open hot dog stands, and one fellow puts this sauce on, then everybody has to do it. And the local people eating hot dogs like it, and it becomes the style in that part of northern New Jersey, say Patterson or whatever it is. And again, there are two different styles, closely related but different. And the other is a Detroit Coney,
mm-hmm.
which is a similar story invented by Greek immigrants who came to Detroit about 1914, which is the era when a number of hot dog stands grew up and mostly run by immigrants, Greeks, Jews, Italians. And they invented a similar kind of sauce, but thicker and with meat in it. And they called it a Coney. And the reason they called it Coney is because of Coney Island, because everybody knew that Coney Island was the great resort area and is a great cultural cachet. And so they called their hot dog stand Coney. There are two of them, most famous ones, American and American Coney and Lafayette Coney Island. Right.
And I grew up on those American Coney dogs growing up in southeastern Michigan. We'll hear more about regional variations on the hot dog with Bruce Craig, author of Man Bites Dog, Hot Dog Culture in America. And we want to hear from you. Do you have a favorite way to prepare hot dogs? Maybe a favorite regional version of the hot dog? And you go all beef, pork, turkey, chicken, or veggie? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or leave your question or comment on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking with Bruce Craig on this week's edition of Food Friday. He's a culinary historian and expert on hot dogs. His books include Man Bites Dog, Hot Dog Culture in America. You can join in with your favorite way to prepare a hot dog, a favorite regional variation. Are you a purist or do you load it up with the condiments? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We've got some recipes. You can try them out maybe this holiday weekend. We'll go right to a caller now. We've got Carol on the line in Glendale. Carol, hi.
Hi, hello, yes. So far as widespread popularity of hot dogs, I spend time in Puerto Rico and on the small island of Vieques every year. And, in Vieques, there are a couple of places that are, hot dog places. There are hot dog stands. And there, and also, there's a stand in Old San Juan, in the heart of things, and that serve hot dogs, shoestring potatoes. You can get relish, the whole thing. You can onions, sauerkraut is popular.
Okay, interesting. So San Juan, a big hot dog town, Puerto Rico, big hot dogs in general. Carol, thanks for the call. Bruce, is there a famous Puerto Rican twist on the hot dog?
I think that they're sort of Caribbean, and it would be in common with Caribbean or Latin American, and they would have, and by the way, these styles are now coming to America, often have mayonnaise on them and French fries put on top, and chili sauces of various kinds. So they're really loaded up in a lot of ways, and I suspect that Puerto Rican ones are kind of like that.
That all works for me, Carol. Thanks a lot for that call. What's your favorite way, Bruce, to eat a hot dog? Is there one that you encountered that's really your go-to?
Well, since I'm in Chicago, I really do like the Chicago-style hot dog.
It's hard to go wrong. What's the key to serving it Chicago-style that we'll know it's the real deal?
Yeah, well, they're hot water-based. They could be steamed. Hot water-based, only just so long, so that they and should be natural casing, so that it has the right snap. It isn't rubbery or something. And it's got to have fresh condiments on it. They have to have crunch and snap in them. And you know, a Chicago hot dog has got mustard and fresh onions. It can't have bright green relish. Tomatoes, pickle spears, and hot peppers, and if you want, celery salt. But it's a whole meal in itself and a symphony, I might say, of flavors and textures.
Now, when I've had Chicago dogs, the celery salt for me is not optional. That's what really makes it for me.
Oh, really? Well, that's pretty interesting. It's not all that popular, but, you know, it's
I'm not from Chicago, to be fair.
No, you're from Southeast Michigan.
Exactly. Another one I liked you had a recipe for in your book, and this gets to the ethnic side of this, a Korean barbecue-flavored hot dog with kimchi. And we've got this on our program note and on the Central Time Facebook page. Tell us about that variety.
This is a newer style, and it was made popular by a food truck in Los Angeles called Kogi, the chef is quite famous, a fellow named Choi, who's quite famous now. And you see him on TV quite a bit. Korean and American foods, which is perfectly natural since there's so many Americans in Korea and so many Koreans in Los Angeles. So instead of sauerkraut, you have kimchi. And it's not just one, you know, there are like 100 different kinds of kimchi. In fact, there's a museum in Korea called the Kimchi Museum where they have on display 100 different kinds of kimchi. So you can make any variation out of that. It's really quite good because kimchi is eaten with all sorts of meats and other foods of all kinds. So it goes really well. Asian styles have become popular, not just kimchi, but there's a mini chain called Japa Dog, which has Japanese condiments on it. It is one in New York and started in Vancouver. So this is just one of that variation. It can be, you know, if the original local styles were Greek and Macedonian, Balkan in origin, so why not Asian?
Go back to our callers. We've got Karen on the line in Woodstock, Illinois. Karen, hi.
Hi. Fun topic. My husband and I love to have a good old backyard hot dog cooked on a charcoal grill, and we like to just get it nice and crispy and then butter the buns and then grill the buns, and that's, like, to us the perfect hot dog. But I was wondering if your guest, I'm looking for a really wonderful, they're called Texas Hots, but it's like a tomatoey base sauce with hamburger, and I think that has some of that cinnamon and a few other ingredients, and it's just delicious. And I've seen these places even as like New York State, but it's a standard Texas hot sauce for hot dogs.
Karen, thanks for the call. Is that Texas dog that actually exists in New Jersey, Bruce?
Correct. It's not from Texas at all. So I've never seen a sauce like that for sale on the market. It could be in New Jersey. I've never seen it there either. But there are recipes online, and you can just try it. Make it yourself.
For the Texas sauce, or you could get, you said it was, what kind of Greek sauce was adapted into this?
Well, a tomato base, the kind you use in moussaka.
All right. Well, Bruce,
with meat or without.
Bruce, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun talking hot dogs.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
That was Bruce Craig. He's a culinary historian, expert on the lore, allure, culture, and history of the hot dog. His books include Man Bites Dog, Hot Dog Culture in America, and Hot Dogs, A Global History. Well, still time for you to tell us how you take and serve and cook your hot dogs over at the Central Time Facebook page. Is there only one way to go for you? Boiled, steamed, fried, grilled? What, of course, toppings do you put on? Just straight up yellow mustard, a little sauerkraut, Ketchup? Yeah, okay, we'll accept that too. Central Time Facebook page, and you can get some recipes for different ways to serve hot dogs over the holiday weekend. That's the Central Time Facebook page.